Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us, whether that's through Zoom or Facebook Live. We're very glad to be able to communicate with you and share a little bit about the good news that we have this morning. If you've joined us a little bit later, then we also welcome you. If you're watching on the watch party a little bit later, then please do feel free to get in contact with us. We'd love to have contact with you and pray with you. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to look a little bit at God's word this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you. We thank you for the opportunity to recognize your goodness and your greatness in our life. And we pray as we look at God's word this morning that you will encourage us, that you'll strengthen us, that where needed, that you will comfort us in these difficult times. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Those of you who know me well know that I love my food. I love food from all different cultures. I like spicy food. I'm willing to try most foods, especially if they don't tell me what it is first. I've even had the pleasure of chicken gizzards all the way from Nigeria, but I didn't know what it was until actually afterwards. Some people in that meal weren't so keen on it. I love food. I love trying different food. And our story today centers around this idea of food. It's one of the most important stories in the New Testament. And all the gospel writers actually recorded it had such a deep impact in the life of the early church. It's a great outdoor banquet. There was no social distancing. There was no hand sanitizer. Jesus had to organize people into groups and into crowds. Maximum of 50 people. So we're going to read a little bit of that story this morning and see what we can learn from it. It's from Matthew chapter 14, and I'm beginning to read at verse 13. As soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd, and as he stepped from the boat, he had compassion on them and healed the sick. That evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "That isn't necessary. You feed them." "But we have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here," he said. Then he told the people to sit down on the grass. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, looked up towards heaven, and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he gave the bread to the disciples, who distributed to the people. They all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to the women and children. And I want to share just a couple of simple points that we can learn from this message about Jesus. Firstly, we learn that Jesus had a deep compassion for the needy crowd of people. What you may not know if you've not read a little of a few verses before, the context of the story, Jesus has actually lost his closest friend, his cousin, John the Baptist. He'd had a good relationship with him right throughout his life. But John has been beheaded cruelly in what amounts to a publicity stunt by a cruel king called King Herod. And so Jesus has lost his closest friend, and he's grieving, and he wants to get away into isolation to be alone for that period of grief. And so he makes preparations to do that. But as has often happened in the Gospels, the crowds heard about this. They found out where he was going, and they followed him. Now, I don't think it would be unreasonable, as often some of the celebrities do, is we want our family to have some space. At times of grief, people say that, don't they? We want our space. We don't want any publicity. We don't want any media. But actually, Jesus didn't have that opportunity. And I don't think it would be unreasonable for Jesus to have said, "Guys, just give me a couple of days and I'll come back. And then I'll teach you, then I'll meet your needs." But he didn't do that. despite what was going on. He knew the people were longing for something. He knew the people were searching for something. And as I've talked to people, as I've communicated with people online, time and time again, I see this idea that the people are searching for something. People are looking for a sense of forgiveness in their life. We all know we've done wrong things in our life. We all know we have a history. We all know that we wouldn't want everyone to know the details of our lives. We need forgiveness. Maybe it's a sense of peace that we need. Maybe we're struggling with guilt. Maybe we're caught up in an addictive habit. And we need freedom. See, all of those things we can find through the ministry of Jesus. We'll explain that a little bit more on how you can engage with that. So in this time, Jesus trying to withdraw, he didn't send away the crowd, but he expresses compassion for the hungry, compassion for the needy. And later on, we see that they're with him all day as he's teaching them, and the other Gospels actually reflect that they're with him a long time, just as we see him doing this miracle of feeding the large crowd. And they're also coming to him for healing because they've heard about him. Maybe some of them have experienced the healing power. And Jesus has compassion on them. That idea of compassion is a very strong word in the Bible. It kind of means really from our gut. Do you know those times when you really feel something from your gut? Not intellectually, but just something deep in your gut or in your heart. And maybe it's something you know, something you feel. This week we watched a program, and one of the ladies that was on this came to this country to be a nurse in 1970. But she got sick recently with the coronavirus, and she was in hospital. She said it was the first time she'd ever missed work because of sickness since 1970, working for the NHS. And as you can imagine, all the nurses and the doctors around her had a great deal of compassion for her because it was one of their own. And the story goes on, and she made a remarkable recovery. And in the sequence on television, you see that she's coming out of the room and out of the ward, and all the nurses and the doctors are there and they're clapping, and she stands and she gives a speech, and she pours out her heart thanking people and sharing her story. And in our house, there was a few tears, unsurprisingly, because that sense of compassion, it touches us all. It's something deep from within. It's not even something we can control at times. And Jesus identified with those who were tired, who were hungry, who needed healing, who needed hope, who needed forgiveness. In 1995, a lady called Joan Osborne sang a song called "What If God Was One of Us?" That song has been made popular recently by a couple of streaming services, and it's the kind of theme tune of one of the programs on that, so people have rediscovered this song. But truthfully, this miracle tells us what God would do if he was one of us, because Jesus was. And Jesus didn't dismiss the crowd. He had compassion on them. He wanted to heal them. He wanted to meet their needs. And I think that's really important that we grasp that as well. Because maybe you're struggling in areas of your family. Maybe you're struggling in areas of your finances. Maybe you're even struggling in areas of faith, and you're kind of thinking, where can God be in all the tragedy and the loss and the grief of these circumstances? Jesus comes with compassion for the crowds, but also for us. In fact, one other gospel writer who later became his closest friend, a man called John, said that he came to reveal what God was like. So if we want to know what God is like, we simply have to look at Jesus. And the Bible says time and time again that when he looked at people, he saw they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. So he met their needs. He gave them a message of truth, and at times met their practical needs, whether that was food or whether that was healing. The encouragement for you and for me today is to know that Jesus has compassion for us. that Jesus understands our situation, that he's not unsympathetic. I hope that encourages you as you realize that today. Second thing we need to know, that Jesus has ability even when we don't. One of the interesting things that people have come to realize, that your health is so important. It doesn't matter how nice your house is. If the government says you have to be in isolation, you can't leave your house. If you can't work because of your health, then it doesn't matter. Our health is so important. And maybe you've begun to realize that you're coming to the end of yourselves. It doesn't matter with all the trappings of society or materialism, that actually you can still be empty inside. You can still feel at a loss. And in the story that we read of the disciples came to the point where they were at a loss. The other Gospels record that when Jesus gave them the command, you feed them, the disciples kind of wrestled with one another. We don't have enough money. In fact, it would probably take a year's wages to feed this crowd. So they wanted to dismiss the crowd. But Jesus said, no, you feed them. And so they began to scramble among themselves and try and figure out what they were going to do. And all that they could come up with was 5 loaves and a couple of fish. And this was one person's lunch. It probably wasn't even as big as this. A couple of rolls, a couple of baps, as we would call them in Northern Ireland. Just a small amount. And they come, and they've come to the end of themselves, and they say, we can't do it. This is our limited resources. You know, according to the Guinness Book of Records, the largest sandwich ever made was, let me read it for you, was 5,440 pounds. It had 3,568 pounds of bread, 1,000 pounds of corned beef, 150 pounds of mustard, 260 pounds of cheese, 530 pounds of lettuce. Thousands of people could eat that sandwich and not be hungry. But the disciples didn't have that. They didn't have those resources. They had 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Really, someone's lunch. And when you think of fish, don't think of big salmon. Think of sardines or whitebait, something tiny. It was one person's lunch. And the disciples came with these meager resources. But we see that Jesus has the ability when we don't. And he comes and he breaks the bread and he gives thanks to God for even those meager resources. And then he distributes the food and gets the disciples to distribute the food. And Jesus feeds what's described as 5,000 men. Now in that crowd, there was women, there was children as well who wouldn't have been counted. It was a normal pattern not to count families in that way. It was the men who were counted. So at a rough calculation, you're probably talking maybe around 15,000 people. So not only was it the feeding of the 5,000 as we might know it, it was a much larger crowd than that. And the miracle of multiplication that Jesus did meant that there were 12 baskets that were taken up afterwards. Can I encourage you this morning, in all the fragments of your life, in all the areas of your life, God comes to you today and says, nothing is wasted. In fact, one of the gospel writers record that Jesus' instructions to the disciples is this, let nothing be wasted. Go and gather up the fragments. And in your life and in my life, if we will bring God our meager resources, if we will bring him our brokenness, if we will bring him our anxiety, our fear, our uncertainty, he will take up those fragments so that nothing is wasted in our life. The disciples learned a very valuable lesson. We're not going to go into it today, but when we put all these resources online for you. We'll put them on YouTube, on Facebook. They'll be on our website online page. There's an incredible truth that comes out through the gospel. We, as a church, we're reading through the whole New Testament. And recently I read through a book called the Book of Colossians. And that book centers on the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. We're not going to look at it now, but you'll be able to look later online and see all the resources where everything centers on Christ, that He is above all creation. Nothing stands in His way. I want to encourage you this morning, even when you think you don't have the ability, God does. Jesus does. He has the ability to meet every need. And that's the disciples' lesson. That's what Jesus wanted them to know. That's what He wanted them to teach it. That when they came to the end of themselves, that God was actually sufficient. One other early church leader found that out as well. And he reflected on his own circumstances that involved persecution, that involved prison, that involved personal sickness at times. And he said, God, if there's any way that this will be taken away from me. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And my power is made perfect in your weakness. Now let's be honest. None of us like to display our weakness. When I was talking to the tech team earlier, setting this up, and we were looking at the camera, and I said to them, guys, make sure you get my best side. And they all laughed because that's a hard task I'm asking of them. Get my best side. Because none of us want to look weak. None of us want to feel that we don't have it together, especially in front of other people. But if we're going to receive God's power, if we're going to receive God's strength, then we have to come to the end of ourselves. We have to bring our meager resources and find that when we don't have the ability, that Jesus does. Maybe you're facing some challenges about your own inability in these circumstances. Your own inability to control what's happening around you. Give up control. It's only an illusion anyhow. It's only God who's in control. He's in control of history. He's in control of the nations. And there is no fake news with Jesus. It's all good news. So what are you going to do with that today? What are you going to do with your weaknesses? What are you going to do with your inabilities? Are you going to let it be a demonstration of God's power? As we draw to a close in a minute, and Keegan and Amelia are going to sing for us, then we want to give you the opportunity to receive some prayer ministry in the breakout rooms. If you want to connect with us, you can do that through Zoom. You can do that on Facebook. We'll have people there as well. But connect with us. We'd love to pray for you because I can't meet all your needs, but I know Jesus can. I know there's someone who's the creator of the ends of the earth. He is wanting to show Himself to be all sufficient for you. And out of your great tests, they can become doorways to experiencing a great God. So my question that I leave you with today is, Keegan and Amelia come, is what will you trust Him for today? What will you bring to Him today and trust Him? For some of you, you need to trust Him with your life. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never made a commitment to follow Jesus. Maybe you've never seen His power working in your life. You can do that today. I'm Irish, so I like to keep it very simple. And it's as simple as A, B, C, D. There's something to admit. You have to admit that you need God. You have to admit that you've gone your own way, that you're not sufficient. You have to believe, that's the letter B. Believe that Jesus Christ can forgive you, that He can meet your needs. C means you have to count the cost. Because following Jesus is not a picnic. We may have read about an outdoor banquet, but following Jesus is not a picnic. You're going to have to count the cost to follow Him. And then D means you're going to have to decide. No one else can do it for you. Doesn't matter if you've been to church. Doesn't matter even if you've read your Bible. You have to decide to give your life to Christ. Here's an encouragement for you. Jesus' closest friend, John, said, as many as received Him, He gave the right to become the children of God. You can do that today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are all sufficient. That as a creator of the ends of the earth, there's nothing you can't do. You can meet our every need. You can meet that need for forgiveness, that need for freedom, that need to have faith that there's a better future, that there's more to this life than this life. Father, I pray that you would help us to bring our meager resources to you, to bring ourselves to you, to invite you to come in that A, B, C, D, that we would decide to follow you. In Jesus' name. If you've done that for the first time today, then we'd love to know. We have some resources that will be really helpful to you as you've taken the first step in saying yes to God. There are many more yeses. There are many more steps you need to take. And we'd love to be part of that process of helping you in your journey.